When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Let's begin this morning on Thought Leader Thursday. Don Lloyd is in from Associated Bank. As I mentioned, Don is in charge of the capital markets and foreign exchange and derivatives over at Associated Bank. Lots to talk about on the world scene this morning. Don, good morning. Welcome back to the opening bell.
Steve, it's great to be here. Happy fall. The good weather's finally hit Chicago, so
yes,
it's good to be here.
Lots going on around the world that we want to get your take on. I suppose the biggest thing, and it's been happening over recent days, is what's happening in London with the UK. Boy, what a show.
Chapter 27 of this novel. I mean, it just continues to get played out and unwind, and still news coming out and lots of things impacting the market. And when it comes to the currency market, the British pound sterling is the mover. There's no question about that. You know, we're at about a 7-year low volatility-wise when it comes to currencies, with the exception of the British pound. And all that's being driven out of what's happening with Brexit, the no Brexit deal, mm-hmm. and now the conservative Tory party that are sort of rebelling against the new prime minister over there. So a lot of things going on.
And to give our listeners just a better sense of understanding here, the idea that there would be a no deal Brexit is what's driving the pound down, right?
Correct.
That's what's causing the volatility.
Correct. Because there's all this uncertainty of what's going to be the implications of a no deal Brexit. I mean, immediately you're going to have taxes and tariffs on goods that are being moved. Really on that Irish border. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to be the only land border between the UK that is left and the European Union. So what's going to happen? Will goods stop? There's just a no-deal Brexit. All of that's going to be, you know, in question.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the rubber's hitting the road over in Parliament and what they're talking about. And you have the new leader over there who is hell-bent on leaving October 31st mm-hmm. with a no deal or with a deal, but no deal's fine with him. And he's starting to have some rumblings in his own party, you know, about, well, maybe that's not a good idea.
Yeah, and there's a concern, too, about the economy. We've been reporting over the last year, companies are leaving their headquarters in London to go elsewhere. There was a report that even from Europe, from France and other places, so at Dover, where all this stuff comes in, the Cliffs of Dover, trucks and inter-country commerce would be held for 2 days after Brexit, so they wouldn't have free flow anymore.
This is going to have significant economic impact to the UK. There's no question about it. And the markets are picking up on that, have picked up on that, but it's bleeding over to the currency market. Now you're starting to see capital move, you know, businesses leaving mm-hmm. or whatnot, but you're also seeing capital move. Everyone's taking a defensive stance, but it looks like the end of October is going to be the final day. You know, I will be surprised if they get an extension. They might want an extension, but just remember, European Union has to agree to an extension. I think October is going to be it.
Yeah.
So more to come.
Right. Stay tuned for that. There's lots going on around the world. I mean, you talk about currency crisis in Argentina.
Yeah.
There's a big mess down there as well.
Isn't that a textbook example of what can happen when you have runaway inflation, currency devaluations that are going out of control, a policy and politicians that are involved in, out of control spending, some corruption thrown in, it shows you what can happen. And, you know, the IMF steps up, the IMF tries to help out, through loans and whatnot. And, you know, I think the final payment has just been made into Argentina on that, but out of control. And now, thank heaven, the market sort of sits back and watches that, because Argentina is not a major economic player when it comes on the world stage. But to sit there and see those levers that have been pulled to get them into the state that they've been in, I mean, 50% inflation, currencies that have weakened over 30% in 1 month, I mean, these are pretty extreme moves. And, now the next thing is going to be default. They're already defaulting on their short-term debt, not defaulting, but they're renegotiating it mm-hmm. and extending it and missing payments on their short-term
debt. Trying to avoid default.
Exactly, trying to avoid it. So, you know, that's just going to continue to unravel. And before too much longer, the market's going to take a real deep dive into what companies and what U.S. companies specifically have exposure to it. You know,
yeah, and that's my next question, because we consider Argentina an emerging market, right?
Yeah, sure.
So, what if you have exposure in emerging markets like Argentina? What is the play?
Yeah, well, the play is to sit there and take a look at the debt that you have on there and how you're going to shore that up, which you're not. So to either lighten that load up as much as you can or, get rid of it. Certainly not extend it and not increase it. So that's always been the problem with the IMF. The IMF will step in and make these loans to, help situations like this. Countries most of the time are unable to repay those. The can gets kicked down the road. Those debts get renegotiated. And then the way the IMF is structured, it's basically the 189 members of the IMF. The percentage of your loan and it's all based on the size of your economy. So the U.S. ends up holding a lot of that exposure, the U.S. government, the taxpayers. And if these things get renegotiated, like they did back in 2001 when Argentina basically defaulted on debt back then, the U.S. taxpayer ends up paying the majority of that bill. That's sort of the negative side of the IMF. Mm-hmm. But all of that's, still coming down the pike as well. So we'll see what happens.
There's a familiar name, Christine Lagarde. People who know, who listen regularly know she has been the director of the International Monetary Fund, IMF. She's taken the new job over at the European Central Bank, and the question is, who's going to head the IMF, and why do we care?
Exactly. She's slated to leave the end of this month and, going to be heading the European Central Bank, and they haven't have a replacement for her right now. So they're looking at this economist out from Mexico, Carstens. He was the one that ran against her back in 2011, but it's sort of a ship without a head right now, right, or will be soon enough. The role of the IMF, it's there to help emerging countries that are struggling. It's there to address poverty. It's there to sit there and really handle the countries that have pegged rates or non-floating exchange rates. Most exchange rates float freely against each other, but there are some, because of their economic fragility, if you will, that are tied, mostly tied to the U.S. dollar. Sometimes they're tied to a basket of currencies, and the IMF helps address that. The lever that the IMF doesn't have to pull is on interest rates and monetary policy. They don't really control that. And there's a big link between exchange rates and interest rates when it comes to countries. So, they don't have a big tool in their basket where they can really, wham away on that. But yet they have this responsibility for pegged rates. We'll see what happens. Why is it important? Well, the IMF is there as a player and something to help out emerging market countries such as Argentina and whatnot, and they're trying. So we'll see, how that changes going forward. Don't think it will very much. They'll have somebody step in to do it. There's no question about that. It's not going to go away. Certainly has a role to play. But she was a very powerful person and, good leadership. The IMF had good leadership under her. So, the transition will be smooth.
I want to talk to you about negative interest rates briefly. And I know there are countries like Japan is one of them that's having its own bond problems. We look at our bond market as well. Talk to us about negative interest rates and why this is so concerning and why it may be coming to the United States.
It's concerning in my life because I've never really seen it in my life before, but it seems to be the norm. I mean, who would have guessed that the 10-year Treasury note in the United States at 1.5% is considered high in global standards and it should come down even lower than it is? I mean, what times are we living in? And negative interest rates seem to be, certainly they're not the way of the future. It's the present. It's here. Europe has adopted them. I was looking at some news and information today about how high net worth individuals over in Europe, they're not moving their money out. They're paying the negative interest rates. It's costing them to keep their money in banks, and they don't seem fazed one bit about it. I guess they are assessing the risk of moving it into other assets is too risky, so they'll sit there and just pay to keep their money in cash or to keep it in an account.
Right.
Is the U.S. going to go that way? Certainly the current administration wants lower rates because that interest rate differential between U.S. and, say, European rates or anybody with negative or near zero interest rates like Japan, like Europe, creates a stronger U.S. dollar, which, again, it's two sides of a coin. It's great if you're an importer, but it's not good if you're an exporter. And right now the administration's wailing away on the export side of that, and they'd like to see that differential come down a little bit. Japan is sitting there the same thing. You know, the inflation is sort of subdued over in Japan. They are ready, even though they have negative interest rates, to take them even lower still, to sit there and try to stimulate their economy along. Right. But how low can you go? I don't know.
And just the conversation about it, though, I mean, I hear people, when they talk about negative interest rates, like, oh, okay, negative interest rates. But isn't it something that we should be concerned about? And it's just another symptom of a slowing global economy, isn't it?
It's certainly a lever that can be used in a slowing global economy. And it's certainly a lever that's been used a lot and maybe has been played out. But again, you know, how low can you go? How negative can you go?
Right.
Before people start to economically assess that, okay, the risk is time, you know, to move and get that money out and, you know, in other investments or purchasing things or stimulating local economies or whatnot. I've never seen it before. You know, this is sort of education and news to me.
Mm-hmm.
I find it fascinating. I mean, I'm sort of ending my career or getting long in my career in a time where banking is changing as quickly as it is and negative interest rates globally the way it is and rates are so low. It's pretty much an exciting time to be in the markets, to be honest with you. I wish I was starting rather than sort of getting towards the end, if you will.
Are you on the deep side of the pool, or are you in the shallow end, just kind of waiting around?
Well, you know me, I'm pro America. I'm a big investor in the U.S. I love it, but honestly, I'm on the sideline.
Yeah.
You know, I have gotten cold feet. Being on the sideline is a position, as far as I'm concerned. Having no position is a position.
Mm-hmm.
I was quite bullish the U.S. Still bullish the U.S. in my heart. I'm just not willing to put my money behind it just yet.
So you're not willing to put your money where your mouth is?
Not right now, but that's okay. Yeah. I mean, I, as I say, I've missed many a ship. Many a ship have sailed without me, but I've really never been on one that has sunk.
Good.
And right now I'm sort of on the shoreline right now. The ship might move, you know, away from me, but at least I'm not going to be on one that sinks.
All right, Don. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Call me on the trading desk anytime. That number is 866-524-8836, or hit me at donald.lloyd@associatedbank.com.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Great. Thanks. Take care.
Don Lloyd, Senior Vice President of Capital Markets and Foreign Exchange and Derivatives at Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation. We do it every Thursday here on The Opening Bell. You can find past conversations at WGNradio.com, including today's. We'll post momentarily with the podcast of The Opening Bell soon after the show ends. And then you can also head over to Associated Bank at AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership to hear more conversations and learn more about our thought leaders there.